Eye on the Arctic, Views from the North, I'm Elish Quinn. Now, all eyes were on the U.S. state of Alaska this week, where a major Arctic conference was underway. Now, this international event was called the Global Leadership in the Arctic Cooperation, Innovation, Engagement, and Resilience, or GLACIER for short. Now, it included foreign ministers from around the world, along with scientists, indigenous leaders, and policymakers from other Arctic regions. And the event was capped with a major climate speech by U.S. President Barack Obama, who also spent time talking to local indigenous leaders and traveling to areas of the state already feeling the effects of the changing environment. Now, there's been an enormous amount of commentary about the conference, Obama's Arctic visit, and how all this could shape things, shape the discussions in the run-up to the United Nations Conference on Climate Change in Paris later this year. So we've asked an Arctic expert to join us today to help us make sense of some of what we saw and heard and what we should maybe be keeping our eye on in the run-up to Paris. Now, Victoria Herman is the director, United States, at the Arctic Institute Center for Circumpolar Studies. She was at the conference, and she joins us on the line today from New York. Victoria Herman, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And, you know, there's an enormous amount of things and discussions that have come out of this conference. But you as an expert, as someone that was there, I just wanted to just take a couple of minutes at the beginning to tell us some of what stood out for you.
Well, I think at the conference itself, the big thing that stood out was how climate focused it was. And really looking at both adaptation and mitigation, President Obama was clear that countries aren't moving quick enough, and he was really talking about cutting carbon emissions both in the United States and abroad, and you could see that throughout his visit. But he also really got to adaptation and the realization that climate change is happening not tomorrow but today in Alaska.
And that was something that I think was interesting and that a lot of people seemed shocked about how clear it was that climate change wasn't something that was coming in the future, that it was here now and there were Alaskans, Americans already having to learn to deal with this.
Exactly. Here in the lower 48, people often think about climate change as a problem of the future. So I think it was incredibly important that President Obama not only went to Alaska, but went out to the communities who are really living on the front lines of climate change to bring that visual narrative back to large media stations that people could really see what was happening today and how climate change is affecting lives of Americans today.
And, you know, there was a strong international component to the conference. There were foreign ministers from several countries. Some weren't there. From what you saw and heard, tell us a little bit about the significance of the international participation, what that signifies, and what maybe some of the absences signify as well.
So when the United States took on the chairmanship last April, their theme was One Arctic, and they've really followed that through in the months since then, and it's culminated in Alaska earlier this week. There were delegations from the Scandinavian countries. There were also delegations from Russia and Canada, although their foreign ministers were not present. But it really speaks to the push for not just President Obama, but Secretary Kerry and Admiral Papp, that they want to ensure that whatever happens in the next 2 years when America has the chair is international, and we're looking towards international cooperation, both in the region and generally on climate change as we move towards Paris. Now, people will make comments that the Russian delegation did not include their foreign minister, and neither did the Canadian delegation. The Canadian delegation is going into their election, and that's what they said when they couldn't come. The Russian delegation, I think, speaks a little bit more to the tensions between the West and Russia that have come out of Crimea and have spilled over into the top of the world.
And, you know, the way some of the comments we heard from Kerry, from President Obama, it was a little bit of a rallying cry. How do you see this in terms of framing the discussions and the decisions that different regions will be looking at ahead of Paris? What role does this play in laying the groundwork, and how important is it from your view?
I think the biggest way it plays to Paris and lays the groundwork is the immediacy factor. Since last fall, when the United States and China came to a bilateral agreement on cutting emissions, there's been positive moves forward towards Paris, But the rhetoric that was used by both Secretary Kerry and President Obama this week made it that much more urgent. I mean, President Obama said time and time again that we are not moving fast enough, that no country in this room is moving fast enough. And that really resonates with everyone, that there's we have been doing good work towards Paris, but we need to move even quicker in the months to come before December.
And as someone that was there, was there anything that you saw that was maybe a missed chance? Was there something that you were looking for that didn't come out as much as you thought? Or was there any surprises in terms of areas that didn't get the attention or that weren't on the agenda in a way that maybe you thought they should have been?
The one thing that I think was missing in this was the private sector in general, and in particular non-renewable resources. Going from a non-renewable stance today to a renewable future is not going to happen overnight. It won't be an instantaneous transition to a decarbonized global economy. So there is a need to engage non-renewable sector companies like oil, who play such a big role in Alaska, and what role the government and the people should demand they play in creating a resilient community and a resilient state. So I think that there was a missed opportunity, that the private sector wasn't as engaged in this conference and over the 3 days that President Obama was there, to ensure that they are playing a role financially and capacity building in creating a renewable future there.
Where do you think that disconnect comes from? I've heard that before in other areas and other discussions. What do you think is preventing that kind of link or that kind of discussion from happening more publicly and in a more constructive way?
I mean, I think to most people it's counterintuitive and controversial to be inviting the companies whose business model is melting the region. But they do have a responsibility for both climate adaptation and mitigation for some of the problems that they've created. So I think that controversy of inviting oil to the table is keeping that out of the public eye. But again, I think it's essential to make sure that they understand their responsibility, that they know they should be demanded to be at the table to be an active player in creating, again, a sustainable future for not just Alaska, but the entire region.
And we don't have a lot of time, but there was definitely one more question I wanted to get in with you. We hear so much from Alaskans about the disconnect between the state and the lower 48. You know, we hear it from, you know, regular people to politicians. Do you think that this conference in any way will change that conversation, that disconnect? Or does the way that, you know, the news does, the profile that Obama's visit brought to the issues in Alaska, do you think this might have an enduring change in terms of the types of news and discussions that go on for people that are in the lower 48?
I'm hopeful that it will change the narrative in the lower 48 of what Alaska is. Often we think of Alaska as kind of this faraway, remote, less frontier that isn't really part of the American identity. Every picture that we see is usually of a polar bear on an iceberg or of an endless snowscape. But the president's three-day itinerary there went to communities. He spoke to people. It really populated what the visual is of Alaska for many citizens living in the lower 48, and even for myself, coming back and speaking to friends and family here in New York and New Jersey, who really didn't have any conception of the Arctic, now know how many icebreakers the United States has, know that there are hundreds of thousands of Americans living in the American Arctic, and that's huge that they now know those facts and can speak about them over the dinner table.
And I guess just lastly, then, what should we be watching for in the months ahead, in the run-up to Paris?
I think you should watch for continued international cooperation, engagement of the non-Arctic states that were present at the conference, so Asian countries like China and Japan and Korea, India, and seeing the bilateral and multilateral engagements between Europe, the United States, Canada, and those countries that will really be the key to creating a binding agreement in December.
Well, Victoria Herman, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for having me.